This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. People who could not have become parents just a few decades ago, if they were living then, now have technology to help. One in every 100 babies in the United States is conceived in a laboratory. But a big barrier remains: money. Most insurance does not cover fertility treatment. As part of an occasional series on making babies, NPR's Jennifer Ludden looks at one small effort to help pay for parenthood.
Carla Van Dievender leans over six-week-old Jackson, her hair brushing his arms.
Yes.
His eyes light up, and he flashes his latest achievement, a wet, gummy smile.
I remember the day, the first time, he looked right at me and gave me that big grin. I was like, oh, my God, like winning the lottery.
In fact, Jackson is here because Carla did win a lottery of sorts. But first, let's rewind 5 years. That's when Carla and her husband CJ, who live in Stanton, Virginia, started trying to conceive. They were crushed to find they could not, and Carla saw a painful irony. They're both teachers devoted to helping bring up other people's children.
What's the purpose of any of this, you know, if you're not going to have your own children to try to help make the world a better place? I mean, I didn't think my life would have any real meaning.
But their modest teacher salaries left little money for fertility treatments. So Carla's parents helped the couple pay for a low-tech form of insemination. Four attempts, all failed. Next, doctors recommended in vitro fertilization, or IVF. That's when clinicians retrieve a woman's eggs and combine them with sperm in a petri dish to hopefully create embryos. It's a high-tech procedure with a whopping price tag of $10,000 to $15,000. Carla and CJ held their breath and took out a second mortgage. Carla got pregnant, but at 10 weeks, she miscarried.
So then we took out another loan for the second one.
A special fertility loan with a special interest rate.
The interest rate, it's like 17, 18%. I mean, it's outrageous. But like I said, when you're desperate, you know, we went with it.
Again, Carla got pregnant, then miscarried. The couple had one frozen embryo left over, but on their way to a third IVF, the clinic called to say that embryo had not survived thawing.
We were so depressed, so we went car shopping, even though we couldn't afford a car. It was just a distraction, you know, just talk about something else so we're not crying anymore. And
so you were out $25,000 and not pregnant.
Right. Probably closer to 30 by the time everything was all said and done.
By this point, the Van Dieveders had sold a motorcycle, talked about selling the house. Carla jokes she was even willing to sell a kidney. Instead, they found the woman who would change their life.
Hello, this is Nancy.
From a cluttered home office in Northern Virginia, Nancy Hemingway runs a group with an unwieldy name, the International Council on Infertility Information Dissemination, or INSIDE. Hemingway started it with two women she met online in the 90s when all were trying to become pregnant.
We had a combined 16 years of infertility and 12 pregnancy losses between us.
All three eventually did have children, and Hemingway, a school teacher, found a new career. At first, the idea was to create an online space to share information, but there were the phone calls. Women in tears, distraught after doctors told them IVF was their only hope, but they had no money for it.
Why should having your pocketbook full be the criteria for whether or not you're able to have a child?
Determined that it shouldn't, Hemingway came up with what she calls a Habitat for Humanity model of help. Couples apply for an IVF scholarship, and INSIDE matches them with fertility clinics.
These are all full of applications that, in fact, I'm going to have to get a new filing cabinet.
Applicants provide tax returns, pay stubs, and other proof of financial need. A committee then vets them. INSIDE has turned down some with large 401ks they could still tap into, but most are approved. Here's how it works. Scholarship recipients agree to contribute $3,500 of their own. They've come up with all kinds of ways to raise the money, from bake sales to jazz concerts. That keeps INSIDE going. Hemingway then persuades drug companies to donate free medication and doctors to donate their services.
It's time to put a little bit back, I think.
Dr. Jeffrey Scher heads the Scher Institutes for Reproductive Medicine. Its clinics around the country help several dozen INSIDE patients each year.
In vitro fertilization offers the only vehicle for having a baby to probably more than a million people in this country, and we only scratch the surface by providing about 100,000 plus services throughout the year.
So those who pay for IVF are a fraction of those who could benefit from it, and the 50 or so women a year helped by Inside's scholarships, a smaller fraction still. A broader solution would be to expand insurance coverage for infertility. But today, only 15 states require any coverage. Virginia's not one of them. And at one point, the Van Dieveners considered moving away.
It's all right. It's okay.
For them, as for so many, right. Becoming a parent was a financially and emotionally draining process. But Carla says it's made her feel all the more lucky and grateful for little Jackson. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.
Well, the way baby Jackson came into the world may be unusual, but his name is not. In the United States, Jackson was the 25th most popular baby name for boys last year. That's according to the Social Security Administration, which recently released the 2010 list.
For the second year in a row, the most popular names are Jacob and Isabella, who also happen to be main characters in the Twilight series of books and movies.
Renee, it turns out that you and I have rare names, at least for the moment. Renee is the 871st most popular name on the list.
And yours.
And Stephen came in at 118. Both names have been losing a little bit of steam over the past decade.